Who recognizes this picture? It's the Broncos accident that happened about a year ago. And I'd like to just go through it again because it's really important that we understand what happened because it has directly to do with the message today. The Broncos hockey team about a year ago was heading to a playoff game. Life was normal. They were cruising down the highway just like always, heading towards this intersection. At the same time, a semi with two trailers was headed for this very intersection. Now, the semi in his lane had a 4-foot-wide stop sign. The Broncos bus didn't. From the police report, we know that the semi driver was not under the influence of alcohol. He wasn't on drugs, and he wasn't using his phone. He was fully conscious. And full consciously, he plowed through the stop sign. And now the brake marks on the asphalt say that the bus tried to stop. The bus tried to stop. The driver of the bus tried to stop, but it was too late. And 16 lives were lost. And 13 were severely injured. All because one stop sign wasn't heeded. But even through this tragic event, God wants to teach us something. And there are four types of people represented in this story. And you may find that the direction of your life is very similar to one of them. God will show you who. The first one is the semi-driver. It turns out that the semi-driver, by the name of Mr. Sidhu, was rushed through his training. And he stepped up to the wheel of his semi-truck, fully conscious he wasn't fully prepared. He was unwise. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you want to do big things, great things, and they're good things. But just like the semi-driver, we rush it. We rush it. And when that voice of wisdom comes, whether it's your conscience or it's your parents or it's a mentor or a neighbor or someone who speaks into your life and says, hey, maybe you should just wait a little bit. Maybe you should learn a little bit more. No, no, no. We go ahead. That's what the semi-driver did. He went ahead. He said, I know. I know. I can do it. I know. And when someone comes and says something else, you say, no, I know. Does that sound familiar? That was me. I used to be like that. And when my parents or my grandparents or people I love would come and say, Kai, you know, maybe you're heading down the wrong path. You know, maybe I think you should stop a little bit. And I'd say, yeah, that's nice. And in my mind, I was thinking, this is so ridiculous. I know what I'm doing. And just like the semi-driver, he probably thought, I know what I'm doing. Who needs training? And he rushed it. And the problem is, when we're like the semi-driver, things might go for a little while. You might be able to succeed for a little while, but eventually things in your life will stop happening. It seems like your plans aren't succeeding. It seems like your life is going nowhere. It seems like your prayers aren't getting answered, and we ask the question, why? Why? Why is my life not turning out like I thought? The answer is because pride is getting in the way of your potential. I'm going to say that again. Pride is getting in the way of your potential. God has so much potential for each and every one of us, but his desire is to work in a humble heart. And when we say, I know, when we say, I can, I am the do-all, be-all, I know all, potential walks out the door and pride comes in. And it's no wonder we won't succeed. It's no wonder it seems like our prayers are going nowhere if we have a prideful heart. So what do we need to do? if you feel like you're the semi-driver. James chapter 1, verse 5. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously without criticizing, and it will be given to him. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously without criticizing. You see, when pride is ruling in our heart, there's no room for potential. But when we ask God for wisdom, there's a change. When we ask God for wisdom, we're saying, God, I don't know it all, because someone who knows it all doesn't need any more wisdom. But when we say, God, I'm asking you for our wisdom, we are humbling ourselves. And when you humble yourself, when I humble myself, pride walks out the door. God wants to work in the heart, in the hearts of the humble. So today, if you find yourself like the semi-driver, be humble. Ask for wisdom. I was like that. And it's not always easy. But when you humble yourself, then God can start working with your heart. And your prayers will seem to go places. And God will start to use you if you have a humble heart. The second person is the owner. Adesh Dil Trucking is the name of the company that owned the semi that got into the Broncos accident. And you know, through this whole experience, so often we don't stop to think about the owner of this company. And you see, the flesh, our flesh will always want more. It's who we are. We'll always want the newest iPhone, the latest car, the newest and greatest, because that's what our flesh is. It always wants more. It's never satisfied with what we have. We need more drivers, more trucks. The training takes time. I don't have time. I want these deals, and I want it now. Make it happen. Probably pretty close to the words of the owner of Adesh Dil Trucking. And you know, I can't think how often after this accident he stopped and said, if only I hadn't been so greedy. If only I would have been patient, I wouldn't be in this mess. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. And the seed on the rock are those who hear, welcome the word with joy, having no root. Having no root. The business owner was so caught up in his finances, in his career, with his projects. And you know, maybe there's someone here today that finds himself in a very similar situation, like the owner. Maybe there's some rocks in your life. And just as the word says here, when there's rocks, there's no roots. And maybe those rocks in your life, in the life of the owner, don't represent spiritual hardness. Maybe your heart is really in the right place and you love the Lord and you spend time with God. But maybe those rocks represent your projects. And see, the problem is when we have so many projects, our projects get in the way of seeing people. And God has called us as a church. He's called us as individuals to reach out to people, not projects. And the problem is when there's so many projects in our life, when we get so caught up with our projects, and if projects represent rocks, then our small square of dirt, which represents our time, which represents our life, which represents our resources, are so full of rocks, there's no room for roots to grow. Roots of friendship, roots of discipleship, roots of reaching out. There's just too many rocks. So maybe if you're like the owner today, your heart might be in the right place, but you have so many projects you've lost sight of people. Maybe there's some rocks in your life that you need to throw away. And maybe they're not necessarily bad things, wrong things. Maybe they're really good things, but too much good medicine isn't healthy. Too many projects isn't healthy. And maybe there's some rocks, maybe there's some projects in your life that you say, God, show me which ones I need to throw away so that I can make space for you to grow. So that I can make space for people, so that I can make space for deep roots. So that I can make more room for God. Then there's a third person, the player. Had any one of these players, any one of them, chosen to be somewhere else, they would have never had to go through this life-changing event. They would have never been impacted in such a way they were had they chosen to be somewhere else. And it sure seems like the players just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sure seems like the players happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And maybe you feel like that today. Maybe you feel like you want to grow closer to God. You want to have a deeper relationship with Him. You desire to be closer to Him. You desire to have fellowship with Him, but you constantly find yourself in the wrong places and with the wrong people. And maybe the wrong places for you are the bar or the club or the disco, but maybe the wrong places for you aren't even bad places. Maybe the wrong places for you are hobbies, sports, and those aren't bad things. But when we have so many places, it takes up the space in which we would have time to grow with God. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's people, maybe it's friends, a neighbor, an acquaintance, someone that is influencing you in the wrong way and you know it. Or maybe it's just too many people, too many acquaintances that are filling up your time so much. And the problem is, if we want to draw closer to God, and that should be all of our desires, if we want to draw closer to Him, and we want to have a deeper relationship, and we want, and we want, and we want, and it just seems like it's not happening, the question is, where and who is taking up that space? And if you feel like you're the player, constantly in the wrong places or with the wrong people, or in too many places and with too many people, there's a simple answer. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. I don't think I'll ever be able to wrap my mind around that verse. The creator of the universe, God, who made each and every one of us, who sees us like specks of dust, wants to draw close to us. He wants to draw close to you, and He wants to draw close to me. God, That's his desire. He loves us, and he wants to have a personal and deep daily relationship with each and every one of us. But we have to be really careful here, because the verse does not say God will draw near to you so that you can draw near to him. No. It doesn't say that. There's some conditions here. It says draw near to God. We have to take the first step. We have to initiate, and he wants us to run to him. He wants to spend time with us. But he's not going to push it. We have to make that choice. And so if you feel like you're a player and you're so often caught up with all these things and all these places and all these people, and you want things from God, you want to grow in your relationship with him, but it just seems like you never have the time, then I want to challenge you. Next time you want to pick up the phone and plan something, next time you want to pick up the phone and reserve somewhere, pick up your Bible and say, God, I want to spend 5 minutes with you. And you know, we can look at our day and we can say, wow, 5 minutes really isn't that much. It goes by so quick. But how often throughout our day do we pick up our Bible, or do we get on our knees and say, God, Dad, I just want to spend 5 minutes with you. I want to draw closer to you. And you know, every time when we do that, it puts a smile on his face. Because he loves to have a relationship with us. He loves to spend time with us. And each and every day he's waiting. So if you feel like you're in the player's shoes, I challenge you. Take 5 minutes. It's not long. Take 5 minutes and spend time with your Father. And when you choose to start doing that, when you choose to start spending time with your Creator, that's when he'll start growing you. And lastly, there's the bus driver. And maybe today you find yourself like the bus driver. Something comes along and wham! Your life just seems to fall apart. And you can't move on. You feel like you're constantly stuck in the past. You're constantly thinking about what you could have done, or what you could have said, or what you could have been. And it's a cycle that goes on and on and on. And just like the bus driver, he tried to stop. He didn't want to hit the semi. He hit his brakes at 23 meters away from the intersection, but it wasn't enough. And maybe you feel like the bus driver. Maybe something happened in your life. Maybe something's happened in your life and you feel like you just can't move on. You feel stuck. Like you hit something and you don't know where to start picking up the pieces. And it's like a never-ending cycle that just keeps going on and on. And every time you think you're making a little bit of progress, you're getting a little bit forward, you just get sucked back into it. An answer. And it's so simple. But there's a big difference between simple and easy. And oftentimes things are simple, but they're never easy. And if you feel like you're the bus driver and you just can't move on from something that happened in the past, there's an answer. And the answer, forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't want you to take this in the wrong way, but we need to dive a little bit deeper into this verse. If you feel like the bus driver and you can't move on from something from your past, we need to read this verse. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is righteous to forgive us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us so much. And his desire for us is to be forgiven. He wants to forgive us. That's his heart. But just as he loves us and he wants to forgive us, he wants us to forgive others. Just as he wants to forgive us. He wants us to forgive and love others just as he does with us. And so if you're stuck in the past, if you're stuck with something that happened in your life and you seem like you can't move on, then the question for you is, have you forgiven those that wronged you? And maybe you have. And maybe that's something you still need to do. But maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, you know what? I have. It was so hard, but I forgave the people that wronged me. I forgave them. And I'm still so stuck. I can't move forward. God, why? Then there's a question for you. Have you forgiven yourself? Have you forgiven yourself? And you know, God loves you so much with a father's heart. And his desire is to forgive you. He loves you. And he doesn't want you to harbor hatred towards others or towards yourself. So the question is, if you've run into something and you seem like you can't move on, and maybe you need to forgive others, but maybe you've done that and you still seem stuck, then the question is, have you been willing to forgive yourself? Have you been willing to forgive yourself? And there's freedom and forgiveness. When we choose to forgive, the chains which hold us to our past, the chains of unforgiveness fall. And peace takes its place. Peace takes the place of worry. Joy takes the place of strife. And you'll be able to move forward. Forgiveness. If we choose forgiveness. I'd like to close with a couple thoughts. One question constantly comes to my mind. Through all this mess that happened, this accident, how could have it all been avoided? All the pain, all the lives that were lost, all the people that were scarred for life because of what happened, how could have it all been avoided? And there's such a simple answer. A stop sign. And that's the title of today's message. A stop sign. A single stop sign. Had the semi stopped, this never would have happened. And regardless of who you are, so often we are just like the semi. We just go. And we forget all about the stop sign. And maybe you're thinking, no, you know, I'm good. You've gone through all four people. I don't fit into any one of their categories. That's great. Praise the Lord. We need strong believers like you. But then the question for you is, if you don't fit into any one of those four categories, who are you reaching out to? Who are you ministering to? Who are you mentoring? Because I can guarantee you, there's people that are in the shoes of the semi driver, of the owner, of the player, and of the bus driver that need people like you. We all have a role to play. And oh boy, do they need strong people in their lives. A stop sign. And all this could have been avoided. So I want to challenge you. Next time you're urged to move forward into something big or small, major or minor, stop. Stop. Exodus chapter 14. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be still. Wow. The the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be still. Wow. In the end, it's not always our resources and our strength and our abilities. It's God. Sometimes we just have to stop and be still. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to come before you now. And Lord, I ask that you would continue to speak to us. And Lord, people that found their lives going in the direction of the four people represented today, Lord, I ask that you would encourage them and that you would put strong believers in their life to lift them up, Lord, to encourage them, Lord, to help them get past what they're going. But Lord, I pray for each and every one of us, regardless, Lord, of who we are or what age we are, whether we're still in grade school or we're an adult. Lord, I ask that when things come up in our life and we just want to go, 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 Lord, that we would stop and be still. Your desire is to fight for us. But when we're agitated and when we're thinking of how we can solve our problems, there's no room for you. So I ask, Lord, for each and every person, Lord, here, when we face a decision, that we would be still and know that you are God and that our trust would be greater than our house.